This is Ozarks at Large. This week, Roby Brock from our content partner TalkBusiness.net continued his Talk Politics series with a conversation with Arkansas Senator John Bozeman. Like the previous installments of the series, Roby asked Arkansas residents to submit questions for the senator by email, text, or through social media. The first question asked Senator Bozeman was what he thought of Warren Buffett's public call for higher taxes on the very wealthy.
Well, I think, you know, what we've been hearing is increasing the taxes on individuals that make $200,000 as an individual, $250,000 as a couple, that's hardly a billionaire. Most of those people that file in that group, I think 50, 60% of them are actually small business. I'm an optometrist, an eye doctor, and so we used to do that at the clinic. You know, we would file as a normal person, essentially, use those because you got a better tax break. So, I think most economists now don't feel like this is the time to raise taxes. I do think that we've got a great opportunity right now to actually look at the tax code, make it fair, make it simple. And there's really talk of getting rid of some of the loopholes and actually reducing taxes on our corporations to make them more competitive overseas. When you don't have the loophole for your particular entity, you wind up paying, I think we're second only to Japan as far as actually paying taxes at the corporate level. So we need to make it where our businesses are more competitive. But I think that's how you do it, is get rid of the loopholes. And the good news is there's lots of talk about doing that.
I don't know too many billionaire optometrists. So do you?
No.
Not billionaires.
I don't know many.
Okay.
But maybe a little
bit more to Jay's point, though. If there could be some comprehensive tax reform and there was a way to raise taxes on those that make $1 billion or more a year, would you be in favor of something that would seem more fair like that?
Well, I'm in favor of looking at anything. You know, right now everything's on the table. The reality is that's not where the money's at. You know, these are all, when you talk about taxing these different things, you know, the corporate jet tax, you know, that they did accelerated depreciations and things. Fine, that's all well and good, and you can argue those things to appear good. The reality is there's no money in actually solving the problem that we have. Right now, we're taking in $2.2 trillion. We're spending $3.7. And so, you know, all of that's great. We really do need to look at how we get this thing done. 51% of the public right now don't pay any federal taxes. So we need something that's fair. We need something that's simple.
This is from Rebecca from Springdale, and it came via email. What's your take on the Iowa straw poll, particularly with Michelle Bachmann winning? Is she your candidate? If not, who do you support for president?
I really don't have a candidate right now. I know Michelle very well, having served with her in the House. And I thought it was kind of an interesting dynamic. I don't think that there was really any real surprises. Ron Paul, you know, we felt like he would do good. Michelle would do good. Paulini maybe didn't do as well as some people thought, and as a result, you know, has gone ahead and gotten out. So right now, I'm really in the situation to wait and see, and really, I think find out. You know, we're hearing some rhetoric now. Really find out the direction that all of these individuals, where they want to move the country. Rick Perry getting in will make a difference. I think probably some of Michelle's base, you know, will come to him. So, again, it's just kind of an interesting time. It's an interesting time for guys like you that analyze all this stuff and get to, you know, comment on it and ask a bunch of questions about it.
What are your thoughts on Rick Perry, just since he's so fresh and new in the race? You must know him because he's the Texas governor. There's a lot of Arkansas people that support him already. We've seen some GOP state legislators get out in front on that. Is Rick Perry your kind of Republican?
Well, I've met him on several occasions. I think that you know, when you look at his record, you know, he's done a good job of job creation and things like that. I think he matches up more on the that we've got a spending problem versus a taxing problem. So, you know, I like those things about him. But again, we're going to know everything there is to know about him in the next month.
Yeah, apparently, we've already got his college transcripts already, and
exactly.
He wasn't even in the race. So. All right, well, we'll watch that. This is from John from Carlisle. It came via email. In the last Iowa debate, all of the Republican presidential candidates said they would not accept a budget deal that would include tax increases, even if there were $10 in spending cuts to every $1 raised in revenue increases, tax increases. Would you support a 10-to-1 budget deal? If not, what ratio could you support?
I think right now the real concern among Republicans is when you look at historically, we've spent about 19% of the budget of the overall, all the goods and services produced in the United States. About 19% of that has been government. We're up to 25% now, the highest since World War II. And we all agree, we all say we agree, that we can't continue to spend at that rate. Now, you got two choices. You can continue to spend at that rate and raise taxes, you know, to cover that, or you can start reducing the spending dramatically. And so I'm a guy that feels like we need to reduce the spending dramatically and get back down towards that 19%. I'd very much like to be like the state of Arkansas, pass a balanced budget where we have to spend our means. I'll tell you, as I'm out in Arkansas visiting with my constituents, the idea, they feel like they're paying plenty of taxes now. And so I'm very much in favor of reducing the spending.
Well, 10 to 1 is a pretty good spending reduction there.
Well, I think what you'll see, though, is that most economists, the economists I talk to, no one's in favor but most economists are not in favor of raising taxes on anybody right now with this very, very weak economy. I do think that what you'll see is getting rid of some of these loopholes. It shouldn't be that a corporation like GE that's making billions of dollars, that they don't pay anything. So I think there'll be some work in that direction. But right now, we really do have to get serious with the spending.
This comes from Mike from Traskwood. This also came via email. Why did the Republicans and you give in on raising the debt ceiling? Doesn't this give President Obama a blank check?
Well, I think ultimately you had to raise the debt ceiling at some point. Right now, as I said, we're bringing in $2.2 trillion. We're spending $3.7. And so, you know, the United States government, like myself and everybody else, I believe very strongly, you make commitments, you pay your bills. So you had to do that at some point. I think the deal that we actually got was certainly not the best deal in the world, but I think it was the best deal that we could get under the circumstances. And so what would happen is, over a period of time, you'd have things like the poultry inspectors, you know, in Arkansas. They wouldn't be able to go to the plant. That plant would shut down. All of those workers would go home without being paid. The corporation, you know, that had invested all of that. You'd have situations where our disabled veterans, you know, you name it, again, not receiving those checks. Now, those people are the last people in the world that got us in the mess that we're in. And so, again, I think we got the best deal that we could get under the circumstances. And then are going to work hard and fight to continue to reduce the spending. I was really pleased that we did get the vote, at least, on the balanced budget amendment. I think that's a start, and we're just going to keep pounding away with that and get some form of a balanced budget. And there's lots of different ways to do that so that we make the federal government, we make them be more like Arkansas and quit spending more than they have. These are simple truths. I mean, these are things that... you know, that you just have to do.
Well, why have a balanced budget amendment? I'm not opposed to that by any stretch, but Congress can propose a budget that is in balance. Why does that not happen?
Because of the nature of the beast. And you'll even have times in our history. Graham Rudman did a great job for a few years. You had divided Congress. Mm-hmm. They jumped in on that. The trouble is that we can't make laws now that are good for future Congresses. So every president, and this is true of President Bush, it's true of the president we have now, President Obama or whoever, they all have their legacy things and this and that. You know, the only way, and this is why almost all of our states throughout the Union, you know, which are a great experiment for how you do things, this is why they've gone to balanced budgets. You have to make people live within their means.
And I've heard this conversation a lot before where the metaphor is we keep kicking the can down the road. To me, it seems like that this super committee that's been created is a little bit of that, kicking that can down the road. I mean, the really tough decisions on budget choices weren't really made. They're going to be made by this super committee in Congress. That seems to be disappointing from what I heard from a lot of politicians on both sides of the political aisle saying, we want to solve this problem now.
Let me say one other thing in regard to the balanced budget amendment. If Congress were to pass a balanced budget amendment, that doesn't mean that it would go in effect. That just means it would go out to the states.
For ratification.
For ratification. Mm-hmm. And then they ultimately, you know, the people's representatives throughout the states, they ultimately would make that decision. So it's not Congress. You know, it's America that would make that choice. I just don't see any downside to that. In regard to the what we've done, a couple things. It's not a commission. It is a true committee of Congress, you know, with great power, great authority. So unlike these other commissions, you know, this thing, once it gets into place and going, like I say, they've got the authority to really do things. It's modeled after the BRAC Commission. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, you know, when I was growing up, you know, and you were growing up, we were under desk, you know, worried about the Cold War and this and that. Now we're blessed. You know, we've got so many fewer men in uniform and things like that. Well, we had to scale back the military. The trouble is everybody had a base, and that base, you know, was a tremendous economic advantage to their community. So you had to get rid of them. Well, nobody wanted to get rid of their base. So we set up a BRAC commission. They would come up with ideas and try and, you know, look at it in a, you know, in the sense of not having, you know, those constituencies come back, and then you had an up or down vote. This is how this is designed to do. Now, the committees will have influence on this committee. I'm on the Ag Committee. So the Ag Committee will be meeting, and the commission is going to say, well, you know, we'd like for you to get so many dollars. Where do you think those dollars ought to come from? Because you're on the committee. You're the ones that know best. So they'll meet. They'll report back, you know, with their input, okay? And then the super committee will take all of that. At some point, we'll have a vote. And the good thing is that I think it's good in the sense we can actually get something done in respect. It'll only take 51 votes to actually pass the thing. So we'll have to see, you know, as the process, you know, goes. That's the way it's designed. Will it work? We'll have to wait and see. I think the people that have put, you know, that they're putting on it are good people. I think everyone is committed to really solving the problem. It's interesting, you know, once you get into this and you really understand the significance, this is why you have a guy like Dick Durbin, you know, and Tom Coburn, who philosophically don't agree on much of anything, you know. And yet, you know, when it gets down to this, you know, they do agree, you know, voted for the thing coming out of the President's Commission, because they understand that we've got to get this thing under control.
Roby Brock from our content partner TalkBusiness.net talked with Arkansas Senator John Bozeman as part of his Talk Politics series. You can see much more from the conversation at Roby's website, TalkBusiness.net. Support for content from TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, offering the tools and services to make Arkansas businesses work. More information available at BankOzarks.com. And Verizon, offering small business solutions, including high-speed mobile broadband, wireless email, global services, and push-to-talk. More information at a Verizon Communication store or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness.